Welcome to day 202 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, broadcasting to you from East Africa. And today we are reading Hosea chapters 8 through 14. And we are reading this week from the New American Standard Bible. So beginning at Hosea chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Put the trumpet to your lips. Like an eagle, the enemy comes against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. They cry out to me, "My God, we of Israel know you." Israel has rejected the good. The enemy will pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have appointed princes, but I did not know it. With their silver and gold they have made idols for themselves, that they might be cut off. He has rejected your calf, O Samaria, saying, "My anger burns against them." How long will they be incapable of innocence? For from Israel is even this: a craftsman made it, so it is not God. Surely the calf of Samaria will be broken to pieces. For they sow the wind, and they reap the whirlwind. The standing grain has no heads. It yields no grain. Should it yield, strangers would swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. They are now among the nations like a vessel in which no one delights. For they have gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey all alone. Ephraim has hired lovers, even though they hire allies among the nations. Now I will gather them up, and they will begin to diminish because of the burden of the king of princes. Since Ephraim has multiplied altars for sin, they have become altars of sinning for him. Though I wrote for him 10,000 precepts of my law, they are regarded as a strange thing. As for my sacrificial gifts, they sacrifice the flesh and eat it, but the Lord has taken no delight in them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish them for their sins. They will return to Egypt, for Israel has forgotten his maker and built palaces, and Judah has multiplied fortified cities. But I will send a fire on its cities, that it may consume its palatial dwellings. Chapter 9. Do not rejoice, O Israel, with exultation like the nations, for you have played the harlot, forsaking your God. You have loved harlots' earnings on every threshing floor. Threshing floor and wine press will not feed them, and the new wine will fail them. They will not remain in the Lord's land, but Ephraim will return to Egypt, and in Assyria they will eat unclean food. They will not pour out drink offerings of wine to the Lord. Their sacrifices will not please him. Their bread will be like mourner's bread. All who eat of it will be defiled, for their bread will be for themselves alone. It will not enter the house of the Lord. What will you do on the day of the appointed festival and on the day of the feast of the Lord? For behold, they will go because of destruction. Egypt will gather them up. Memphis will bury them. Weeds will take over their treasures of silver. Thorns will be in their tents. The days of punishment have come. The days of retribution have come. Let Israel know this. The prophet is a fool. The inspired man is demented because of the grossness of your iniquity and because your hostility is so great. Ephraim was a watchman with my God, a prophet, yet the snare of a bird catcher is in all his ways, and there is only hostility in the house of his God. They have gone deep in depravity as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your forefathers as the earliest fruit on the fig tree in its first season. But they came to Baal Peor and devoted themselves to shame, and they became as detestable as that which they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory will fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, and no conception. Though they bring up their children, yet I will bereave them until not a man is left. Yes, woe to them indeed when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I have seen, is planted in a pleasant meadow like Tyre, but Ephraim will bring out his children for slaughter. Give them, O Lord, what will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their evil is at Gilgal. Indeed, I came to hate them there. Because of the wickedness of their deeds, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are rebels. Ephraim is stricken. Their root is dried up. They will bear no fruit. Even though they bear children, I will slay the precious ones of their womb. My God will cast them away because they have not listened to him, and they will be wanderers among the nations. Chapter 10. Israel is a luxuriant vine. He produces fruit for himself. The more his fruit, the more altars he made. The richer his land, the better he made the sacred pillars. Their heart is faithless. Now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will break down their altars and destroy their sacred pillars. Surely now they will say, "We have no king, for we do not revere the Lord. As for the king, what can he do for us?" They speak mere words. With worthless oaths they make covenants. And judgments sprout like poisonous weeds in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria will fear for the calf of Beth Aven. Indeed, its people will mourn for it, and its idolatrous priests will cry out over it, over its glory, since it has departed from it. The thing itself will be carried to Assyria, a tribute to King Jareb. Ephraim will be seized with shame, and Israel will be ashamed of its own counsel. Samaria will be cut off with her king like a stick on the surface of the water. Also, the high places of Aven, the sin of Israel, will be destroyed. Thorn and thistle will grow on their altars. Then they will say to the mountains, "Cover us," and to the hills, "Fall on us." From the days of Gibeah you have sinned, O Israel. There they stand. Will not the battle against the sons of iniquity overtake them in Gibeah? When it is my desire, I will chastise them, and the peoples will be gathered against them. When they are bound for their double guilt, Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh, but I will come over her fair neck with a yoke. I will harness Ephraim. Judah will plow. Jacob will harrow for himself. Sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Because you have trusted in your way, in your numerous warriors, therefore a tumult will arise among your people, and all your fortresses will be destroyed. As Shalman destroyed Beth Arbel on the day of battle, when mothers were dashed in pieces with their children, thus it will be done to you at Bethel because of your great wickedness. At dawn, the king of Israel will be completely cut off. Chapter 11. When Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more they called them, the more they went from them. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning incense to idols. Yet it is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love, and I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws, as I bent down and fed them. They will not return to the land of Egypt, but Assyria, he will be their king, because they refused to return to me. The sword will whirl against their cities and will demolish their gate bars and consume them because of their counsels. So my people are bent on turning from me. Though they call them to the one on high, none at all exalts him. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are kindled. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They will walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. Indeed, he will roar, and his sons will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt, and like doves from the land of Assyria. And I will settle them in their houses, declares the Lord. Ephraim surrounds me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. Judah is also unruly against God, even against the Holy One who is faithful. Chapter 12. Ephraim feeds on wind and pursues the east wind continually. He multiplies lies and violence. Moreover, he makes a covenant with Assyria, and oil is carried to Egypt. The Lord also has a dispute with Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. He will repay him according to his deeds. In the womb he took his brother by the heel, and in his maturity he contended with God. Yes, he wrestled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He found him at Bethel, and there he spoke with us. Even the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord is his name. Therefore, return to your God. Observe kindness and justice, and wait for your God continually. A merchant in whose hands are false balances, he loves to oppress. And Ephraim said, surely I have become rich. I have found wealth for myself. In all my labors they will find in me no iniquity which would be sin. But I have been the Lord your God since the land of Egypt. I will make you live in tents again, as in the days of the appointed festival. I have also spoken to the prophets, and I gave numerous visions, and through the prophets I gave parables. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are worthless. In Gilgal they sacrifice bulls. Yes, their altars are like the stone heaps beside the furrows of the field. Now Jacob fled to the land of Aram, and Israel worked for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. But by a prophet the Lord brought Israel from Egypt, and by a prophet he was kept. Ephraim has provoked to bitter anger, so his Lord will leave his blood guilt on him and bring back his reproach to him. Chapter 13. When Ephraim spoke, there was trembling. He exalted himself in Israel. But through Baal he did wrong and died. And now they sin more and more and make for themselves molten images, idols skillfully made from their silver, all of them the work of craftsmen. They say of them, let the men who sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they will be like the morning cloud and like dew which soon disappears, like chaff which is blown away from the threshing floor, and like smoke from a chimney. Yet I have been the Lord your God since the land of Egypt, and you were not to know any God except me, for there is no Savior besides me. I cared for you in the wilderness. in the land of drought. As they had their pasture, they became satisfied, and being satisfied, their heart became proud. Therefore, they forgot me. So I will be like a lion to them, like a leopard I will lie in wait by the wayside. I will encounter them like a bear robbed of her cubs, and I will tear open their chests. There I will also devour them like a lioness, as a wild beast would tear them. It is your destruction, O Israel, that you are against me, against your help. Where now is your king, that he may save you in all your cities, and your judges of whom you requested, give me a king and princes? I gave you a king in my anger, and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is stored up. The pains of childbirth come upon him. He is not a wise son, for it is not the time that he should delay at the opening of the womb. Shall I ransom them from the power of Sheol? Shall I redeem them from death? O death, where are your thorns? O Sheol, where is your sting? Compassion will be hidden from my sight. Though he flourishes among the reeds, an east wind will come, the wind of the Lord coming up from the wilderness, and his fountain will become dry, and his spring will be dried up. It will plunder his treasury of every precious article. Samaria will be held guilty, for she has rebelled against her God. They will fall by the sword. Their little ones will be dashed in pieces, and their pregnant women will be ripped open. Chapter 14. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, that we may present the fruit of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say again, our God, to the work of our hands. For in you, the orphan finds mercy. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely. For my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like the lily, and he will take root like the cedars of Lebanon. His shoots will sprout, and his beauty will be like the olive tree, and his fragrance like the cedars of Lebanon. Those who live in his shadow will again raise grain, and they will blossom like the vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like a luxuriant cypress. From me comes your fruit. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. This is the end of the book of Hosea and the end of today's scripture reading. In the passages of scripture that we read today, we're hearing the prophet Hosea speak words of rebuke from the Lord to the house of Israel, to Ephraim, the different tribes of Israel, rebuking them for their following worthless idols, things that man has made who aren't God at all, and refusing to return to the Lord. And then as we got to chapter 10, we heard a very profound passage that I want to read to you and that we'll focus on today for our devotional. It's verses 12 and 13 of Hosea 10, and it says this: sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies. because you have trusted in your way, in your numerous warriors. Now, this is a very profound example, and it's spoken to a people who were from a very agrarian society. They understood sowing and reaping. They understood planting seeds and reaping a harvest. They understood breaking up your fallow ground, which simply means break up the tillable soil. It's the soil that can be planted. So break it up, get it ready, prepare it for cultivation. And the Lord is speaking to the nation of Israel. He tells them, you've plowed wickedness. Here's what you've been planting. And then the result has been you've reaped injustice. You've eaten the fruit of lies. So what came up, the fruit of this harvest, was the fruit of lies. So you have injustice, you have wickedness, you have deception and lying and no one telling the truth. And your entire harvest has been a disaster. When a nation reaps injustice, when there's injustice in the land, when the poor are oppressed, when righteous people are treated as if they were the corrupt people, and corrupt people are treated as if they are the good people, we have problems in a nation. And that is exactly what was happening in Israel. If a person spoke the truth and said, we are sinning, we have turned our backs against God, we need to return to God, then that person was thrown into jail or killed or stoned to death for speaking out about righteous behavior and unrighteous behavior. So they were reaping injustice. You've plowed wickedness, you've reaped injustice. And that was exactly what was happening historically at the time of Hosea's writings and his prophecies. Then in verse 12, we heard these words, an instruction on what you should be planting or sowing in the field of your life and in the field of a nation's life. Sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. This principle, biblical principle, scriptural principle of sowing and reaping is not about planting a corn seed and reaping a harvest of corn. It is about sowing with a view to righteousness and reaping in accordance with kindness. It's about what a person sows in their life, whether it's good or bad, whether it's wickedness or righteousness, that person will always reap directly in accordance with what they have sown. They aren't going to reap something different than what they have sown. That is a biblical principle that is spoken of in the Old Testament here in Hosea and other places. And then the New Testament also speaks of this exact principle in Galatians chapter 6. We will eventually get to Galatians, but let me quote it for you here. Two verses, verses 7 and 8 in Galatians 6, speak of this spiritual principle. It says, don't be deceived. God will not allow himself to be mocked. For whatever a man sows, that, and that only, is what he will reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. This is a profound spiritual principle that operates every single day all around the world, whether a person knows about it or does not know about it, whether a person has understanding or revelation about it or they do not have revelation about it. A person only reaps exactly what they have sown, with the exception of God intervening. When a person has a revelation that they have sinned, that person can repent of the sin, ask God to forgive them, and God can cancel the harvest that should be due them from the sowing of their sinfulness. God is merciful in that sense. But as far as everyday life, people going about their business without any thought about what their deeds and their actions and their thoughts and their words and any impact that may come from those things, as a person goes along in life, they end up producing a harvest that they have produced themselves, though many people will never take responsibility for it. They will be producing a harvest in their life every single day, and that harvest won't come overnight, but it eventually comes. And when it does come up, the fruit of it is exactly corresponding to whatever that person has sown in life. If they have sown kindness to people, they definitely will reap kindness. If they have sown mercy, the Bible clearly teaches that they will receive mercy. If they have sown unkindness, wickedness, lying, cheating people, cheating on their spouse, if they have sown cheating in school, eventually the harvest of those actions comes to fruition and they reap it in their life. If you have things happening in your life right now, you're reaping a harvest perhaps from something you did long ago, it's important to first of all recognize that this spiritual principle operates continuously. It's God placed it in the spiritual realm. He set this in order. And that's why he was telling the Israelites, you need to sow or plant with a view to righteousness. And then you'll reap in accordance with that righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. God wants us to be people whose loving kindness is a reflection of God's loving kindness, whose mercy is a reflection of God's mercy, whose spirit of grace and love is a direct reflection of our Heavenly Father. And then when we go about our business, interacting with people on a daily basis, we're sowing with a view to righteousness, and then we are reaping in accordance with kindness because that's what we have sown. If you're reaping things right now that perhaps you sowed long ago and you would like to put a stop to it because you realize it's a direct result of your own sinfulness or maybe just ignorance, then I want to encourage you, go to the Lord, say, God, forgive me. I see now that I sowed suspicion of other people and envy of other people and jealousy of other people. And now when I'm starting to maybe prosper, or perhaps you're getting promotions at work, you see people being terribly jealous and envious of you and treating you badly because of it. You need to repent. Say, Father, forgive me. I was jealous long ago when someone got a promotion above me. And I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to cleanse me, and I bless that person in the name of Jesus. Put an end to it. Stop it. Stop the reaping process by repenting of the thing that you have sown that is bringing a bad harvest into your life. God wants you to be able to sow your actions, your words, your deeds, your attitudes with a view to righteousness. Is this the godly thing to sow? Another question you can ask yourself every single day as you go about your business, talking to people, working, interacting with your coworkers, your family members, when you're about to say something or do something, think for a moment, do I want to reap what I'm about to do? Do I want to reap what I'm about to say about that person? A lot of times people give in to gossiping about the boss or about other family members, and then they're in shock later on when they find out somebody's gossiped about them. But they're reaping in accordance with what they have sown. They've sown a lot of gossip about people. They heard something bad about someone and they repeated it, even though they didn't know if it was true or not true. And then maybe 6 months later they found out, oh, it wasn't true. They never correct what they said, but they certainly will reap having done that thing, which was very displeasing to the Lord and is a sin in the Lord's eyes. God wants us to recognize that there is a spiritual principle operational daily in your life and everyone else's life, whether they're a believer or not, it is operating. Just like gravity's operating, whether a person has any understanding of the principle of gravity or not, gravity operates. If they jump off a building, they will fall to the ground because gravity will cause that to occur simply because it's a law of physics. But this principle, this spiritual law of sowing and reaping whatever you have sown, operates every day. God wants you to know it, understand it, and then think before you act, and think before you speak, and think before you have an attitude that's not pleasing to God or anyone else, and then begin to make a decision daily. Lord, today, I want to sow with a view to righteousness. I want to sow with a view to what would please you. Lord, I want to sow grace to people who are making mistakes, even if it's hurting me. I want to sow grace to them. I want to just say, it's all right. God's going to help you. Pray for them. I want to sow mercy every day. I want to sow a forgiving spirit every single day because I need forgiveness without a doubt. I need mercy without a doubt. I will need somebody to show me grace when I make mistakes and not be harsh with me because I didn't do something perfectly or pleasing to that person. I want to reap grace, but the only way I'm going to reap grace is if I will sow grace, meaning that you give people grace when they are making a mistake, when they're erring, when they're sinning, when they're having a hard time in their life, and don't be hard on them. Be their prayer warrior. Become their intercessor instead of, I can't believe they're acting like that. They're Christians. Give them some grace. You have no idea what pressure that person might be under. And you may know nothing about the reality behind what's going on in their life. You can only see some outward things that maybe you think are wrong. Sow them some grace and say, Lord, I don't know what they're going through, but God, please help them. I'm not going to judge them. Then you're sowing grace. And you will reap that same grace from other people in the future when you need it. Sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, meaning you have ground that you could cultivate, that you could sow seeds in. But a lot of people, they either don't sow any seed at all, so they never give anybody any grace, any mercy, any love, any kindness. They don't sow. They don't intentionally sow anything, or they sow the wrong thing, and they're throwing seed left and right with their mouth. They're sowing seeds continuously by saying critical things about people. That is seed that is going to go into the ground and it's going to reap you a harvest. And you're going to end up with a harvest of people saying critical words about you, judging you. God wants you to understand this spiritual principle and then intentionally begin to be a sower of good seed and one who is very careful to not sow bad seed alongside your good seed. Don't sow two kinds of seed. The scripture says don't mix it. Sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. God bless you and give you a victorious and fruitful week.